Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
Is Missy Elliott gay?
She's definitely fucking queer.
I knew it!
But really, we...
Bisexual, allegedly.
At very least, because we've never seen... She's never addressed it.
I mean, I always thought it, but you can't just assume things.
But she has denied it with certain people, so...
But those suits.
The fucking suits. But she also be talking about shave my cha-cha for him. There's, we got options.
Mm-hmm. Throw those legs back. Throw it back. Hey, throw it back.
What's up, cabronas?
What's poppin', chingona?
I'm just here in the presence of my favorite people in the podcasting world. That's, you know, I don't care who I'm offending with that. It's fine. I'm super stoked to have you guys back for So Fat, So Brave Part 2. If you haven't listened to the first one, you should. But I think it's okay if you just listen to this one first. Mm-hmm. But I'm here with Fabi from Latinos Who Lunch, who everybody knows, and Eva Arreguin from De Colores Radio, who most of you know too, I'm pretty sure.
You better know me.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, sorry that was violent.
That's okay. Oh my God. So I think like 5 seconds after we released So Fat, So Brave Part 1, we were immediately like, damn, we already need a part 2 because like 500 things came out immediately. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're here.
It's like we manifested it.
Yeah.
We were like, we need more fat representation. And it came.
Yeah. So for the people.
A little bit. In a lot of white ways, in my opinion.
Wow.
I mean, I think we predicted that
and
too.
And a oop.
And a oop.
Anyways, go on.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about some stuff. Some of it actually that we're going to talk about today did exist prior. At least one of the pieces existed prior. But most of them didn't.
So we're going to get into some fat representation today. And we also have listener questions from the interwebs that we're going to get into. So if you send us something on Instagram, look forward to that. Oh, I miss doing this. I'm start crying.
We were on a break.
Oh my God. You know how fucked up... Can we talk about that show real quick?
Prince?
Yeah.
How fucked up that show was?
The whole Monica. Whole Monica storyline.
The whole bit.
Is wild.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Like, dude. That show's really sick.
I would say most shows are kind of sick in that way in regards to fatness. And I know we talked about that a little bit last episode.
Yeah.
But like almost every show will touch on fatness or make a... Like fatness is the butt of the joke.
Yeah. So maybe if you are a healthy person in a healthy relationship... it's probably because you never watched Friends, so congrats to you. So for those people,
damn it, I watched Friends.
Monica, she's basically the main character of the show.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean it's her apartment that they all
congregate
around.
Yeah.
She's like the Rock, I think. I feel
that's interesting. I'd never seen it.
Think
that
about
way.
It. She's
I always
the one
thought
that
of
has
it.
A job. She has an apartment.
And she's the stable one.
She's the most stable, even though she's not technically
the star.
With somebody.
But she's
until
also like
the
a control freak.
She's also like.
She's like the mom.
Yeah, she is.
It's like you only like her sometimes.
Courtney Cox plays her, and she was fat.
That's her whole
when she was younger.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, when she was
there's
in high
a difference.
School.
The fat suit of the 90s and early 2000s.
And that's
that
it.
Was
that's
very
the
popular.
Gag.
Yeah, absolutely. And she used to dance and eat.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you remember, and it had the big old double chin.
God.
And that was our fat representation.
You know, that actually brings up another conversation because, like, when. You know, Monica ends up with Chandler. Spoiler alert. Oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when they show like flashbacks to Chandler being like not even remotely interested in her. So to me, like that's a thought that I constantly have of like, if I were skinny, you know, will these people, like these people would treat me differently?
Girl, you ready for my trauma?
And I also like, yeah, it's just... Think generally back to like
we're in a dungeon.
Yeah, sorry about that. And I think back to like people that showed interest in the past that now are like, yeah, right. You know, that type of shit. I don't know.
Oh, that's been my entire life.
Literally, if I like lose 10 pounds, all these creepers come out.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, just over like yeah.
You know what's weird for me though is that like I've always had that mindset of like if I was thinner, they would like me. But even when I was, like, 100 pounds lighter, they didn't approach me either. So I actually don't know what is wrong with me. And by that, nothing wrong with you. I know nothing's wrong with me, but it's like I have thought that for a long time. Yeah. And then recently I've had a resurgence, kind of like hot people hit on me and I'm like, are you okay? So it's really weird because I definitely think like if I was 150, like what would my inbox look like?
Right. I mostly think about like if I were in that situation of like I grew up with this person or whatever, they were never interested, and then like years later the tables turn and I'm the hot one and then they're the loser Chandler dude, then like would I still want to go through with that? Because I know
that their, you saw me this way.
I know that their opinion of me when I had more fat on my body was this, like I feel like I'd be really conflicted about that. I feel like I'd like be really sus about anyone that was interested in me. I feel
absolutely
like, I
don't know
what kind of paranoia would come with that.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, and that's where, like, when I talk about it with my friends, I'm like, it's kind of nice because I get to weed out, like, the motherfuckers right at the beginning, right? Like, if you're not into me, then you're not into me. But if you are into me for me and not just, like, either a fetish or, like, your idea of me or whatever else, like, that kind of helps to some degree. But I think I probably should have listened to our other episodes, so I'm not repeating the same things. But as soon as, like, I'll have people into me, and as soon as I reject them in any kind of way, form of insult is always attacking my fatness. And I'm like, bruh.
Yeah, we definitely discussed it, but it's worth re-mentioning it.
Because it happens so often, right? Because that's still where people feel the need to jab. Like, that's still, fatness is always still the butt of the joke
or
the
attack. It's a big thing about, I think that's a big thing amongst men, though. I feel like, I mean, I might be wrong, but women don't do that.
Not like, in regards, well, kind of. They'd be like, oh, you fat bitch, but I don't really fight with women.
I mean, like, in a romantic way. Like, if I reject a woman, or, I don't know, maybe if you rejected a woman, do you think that they would respond in that kind of a violent way?
I mean, if they were super fat phobic, maybe.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And they, like, equated me to my fatness, which is something I think, I don't remember who was discussing it recently on Twitter, but they were saying, like, maybe it was Jessica Salgado that said, like, I can see how you see me with how you react to me later on. Especially without the clout, quote unquote. Like, if you're not popular for this reason, how would people see you in reference to your actual image?
Interesting. You touched on a lot of great points there. And I think that the main one for when it comes to media representation is, like, the fat person is always the butt of the joke. Like, always the clown. Like, Monica and Friends, it was always, like, she was eating a piece of chicken in a fat suit. Like, oh, nobody liked it. And she, even her voice was, like, wah, wah, wah. Like, and you see that repeated over and over. I mean, on the last season of fucking Insecure, when they went to Coachella and the fat girl got tased and peed herself. Yeah, it's, like,
Why did it have to be the big girl?
Why did it have to be the big girl? Because... Mm-hmm. Fat people don't have feelings. Fat people, you know, fat people can be the butt of the jokes because they're used to...
Because their bodies are a joke.
Yeah, their bodies are a joke and they're used to being the funny one. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, do better, like Issa Rae. So, like, when you say, do women do that to each other? Yeah, they do. You know?
Yeah.
And that's case in point right there.
And that's maybe not realizing it as much directly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this is like a... Yeah, this is like a maybe... almost an unconscious thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, men do it very directly and very, like, I feel like violently.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which, if I can transition, I think this might be a good one to transition to both Shrill and I believe you said American Housewife. Mm-hmm. Both have, like, besties that are fat women as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also, like, the butt of the jokes, kind of. Well, I know for Shrill, the bestie, which Shrill came out...
Right after we recorded
Five seconds later, yeah.
So if you want to open up that conversation.
Yeah, so Shrill is a Hulu original with A.D. Bryant, who has been on SNL for a long time. And, I mean, it's a comedy, so, like, everyone's the butt of the joke on that. You can't really put it on that when it comes to SNL. But she got her own show, and it's basically about, like, this white woman who... has a lot of fucked up trouble with, like, love. And, yeah, her best friend is, like, a queer black woman who's also fat and isn't so upset about being fat.
Right. She's owned it more than our main character.
Exactly.
And it's kind of encouraging her to, like, love herself.
My original reaction to Shrill, like, I hated it. I hated the first couple of episodes when she's just, like, being treated like trash. Like, by this dude. And I guess it was because, like, for me, like, I don't have that experience, right? Like, I don't let that happen. I would just leave.
You know? So you hated it because of how she was being treated, not because of how the show was written.
Right. No. Yeah. I just hated seeing, like, some, like, trash ass dude treating her like trash. I'm like, he's trash to begin with. And then, like, I didn't like it literally until it got to an episode that was focused on, like, finally focusing on body positivity. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole pool scene, and, like,
everybody talks about the fucking pool scene.
It's, yeah, because there's queer people, there's people of color, yeah, and there's, like, they're swimming and they're proud, and she's, like, experiencing it for the first time. I thought it was a great scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful.
It was. And that was the first, probably the first around that episode that I started actually liking the show, because I was just like, I don't know. It's also like, I don't like watching hetero stuff that much, but like that right there was like adding like the heteroness and the whiteness. Oh, yeah. And like the,
that was like the whitest, most hetero.
It was super white, super hetero. It's, and it was like super anti-women kind of. And I get like why they did it.
Can I, as a person who dates hetero men, I know, I'll accept your apology.
Can't relate, go on.
Or I apologize for dating them, I guess. I don't content. Fucking know. Anyways, but for me, when I first saw that episode, I was floored. Mm-hmm. Because that was fucking relatable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Even if I
You've
am
You've been
this,
treated that way?
Not. I'm not as stupid as her. I definitely love myself more than she does.
She put up with a lot.
And I wouldn't be jumping the fence. You got me fucked up. I won't do it. Because that still becomes white shit, right? Like, I'm not going to let myself stoop to that level. But to pretend as though men don't try to treat me that way, I would be lying. Because they do, and they kind of just want to use you up until you decide to fucking stop, and then they decide they want to come back, which is literally what happens in the show. But, like, she didn't love herself at all, so right. she was accepting everything. For me, it's like, I've seen it, and they've tried it, and I go, haha, bitch, you thought. But, absolutely, that is familiar, because it becomes this thing of, like, as a fat woman, a lot of times I'm like, do you want to get to know me, or are you just trying to fuck me? And that's what that whole beginning bit is. And so that, for me, I was like, ooh, okay, wow, I feel this. It's not something I'm, like, proud of, but it's, like, it's very relatable. Like, definitely relatable.
Yeah, so Shrill, for people that haven't watched it, is about Adie Bryant's character. She's a writer for, like, a weekly magazine. Mm-hmm. I think it's based on The Stranger in Oregon or something, or okay. Seattle. I think her boss is based on the guy that does Savage Love. What's his name? Dan, white guy. Oh fuck, what's his name?
Dan Rather.
No, not Dan Rather. Oh my god, I used to listen to his podcast religiously. He has a sex podcast. Savage, Dan Savage. Oh,
Dan Savage Love. Wow.
And I didn't like him. And you know what? And one of the reasons that I stopped listening to Dan Savage was because he's so fucking fat phobic. In his podcast, he would always be like, well, if you're fat, that's a choice. You can change it.
Ooh.
Like, you know what I mean?
And that's so fucking...
And so the show really made the boss like an asshole. And I think it was just like, oh, that's who Joakim Boster is. He's the boyfriend, the Asian boyfriend in Shrill. That's Joakim Boster. The Asian guy that has photographs, he's an artist. You don't remember?
I don't remember either.
A long time ago.
Okay. I watched it when it came out, yeah.
So.
Same, but I'll never forget that scene.
Sorry.
Joakim Boster is fine. So, anyway, this show is like her kind of like owning her.
Reclaiming herself.
And I think we're barely at the very end, like she's finally like starting to love herself, you know? And even though this show is great for fat representation, I did see a lot of problems with it. I don't know if it was because it was so white. There was a lot of problems, I think, within the show regarding race, as far as her best friend being this black British lady, you know?
Queer black British
lady. She was a queer black British lady who was, I think she was undocumented.
They like hit all the marks with her.
Yeah, they were just like, can we just cover these four bases with this one character?
That's what a lot of these shows like and movies do.
Like what we got from that character, I like her.
Mm-hmm.
But
she was a great character.
She didn't get her own plot. It was just kind of like things happening in the
background. There was no developing.
But what I didn't like, I didn't like that she was kind of just a, unfortunately, kind of just like a prop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, we didn't really learn anything about her.
To me, she was that comic relief, which is kind of why I guess I said the butt of the joke thing.
Damn, it was so good. Like, a lot of the things that were in that show were so good, and they could have given that character more agency or just a little bit more of a voice or even a B storyline. Like, all we got was, like, these little vignettes in the apartment.
She was never there by herself.
Uh-huh. And right. She was so interesting. Like, she had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She cut hair. Like, there were so many things they could have... She could have her own damn show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
The girl who ends up being her girlfriend or whatever, or, like, mm-hmm. the girl after she the dates. Party. Yeah. She was supposed to... Or she did star in this remake. Oh, my God. What is it fucking called? It was, like, a remake of a show, but it had, like, some sensitive material within it, so it never aired. And she was basically...
She looks familiar.
She was basically the star of it, and she's, like, you know, she's a big girl. Mm-hmm. And in that show... I'm going to find out what the show is, because it's going to be, like, stupid.
Yeah. Bothering you.
The Heathers. Okay, so they remade Heathers, and it was starring, like, a big girl and then, like, a gay guy and then, like, a third person.
The preview came out for that.
Yeah, it was going to come out and everything. And then
it looked kind of weird to me.
It was. And
when
then,
did it come out?
Because it had some sensitive material about a shooting, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm not 100%. But the point is that they released all the episodes or something, but it didn't even go to officially air. But I watched some of it. And, like, the big part of the plot with her, with the fat character or whatever, is that she is trying as much as she can to be, like, the woke, like, niche person. So she pretends to be a lesbian. So, like, that's a whole thing where she gets found out for not actually being a lesbian.
Mm.
So that's a little side fun fact of how problematic that would have been had it actually aired. It was pretty bad. So then when I saw her on there, like, being a decent character was refreshing, I guess.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. And I guess that made me think of the show Special, which has also been acclaimed for representation when it comes to...
Queer disabled
mm-hmm. person, and then his friend is also a person of color on the show. His best friend, actually, very similar story. He gets hired to write for this, like, it's called Egg Woke.
He's an intern.
He's an intern at this, like, internet
website,
opinion article website, whatever. So he's best friends with this woman Kim, who appears to be Middle Eastern. Indian, I believe, and she, I guess that's like South Asian, right?
Yeah, South Asian.
Yeah, and not the Middle Eastern.
Southeast Asian.
But she actually has storylines in the show.
That's good.
Which I really appreciated. And
and those are small episodes, so that's really something that writers can do.
Because
it was, what, 12, 13-minute episodes, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So if writer rooms want to develop these characters... They can.
Yeah.
They can choose to develop and make these people have a personality, but they don't.
They also didn't have to stuff 500 identities into her, right? It's like, she's a woman, she's fat, and she's, I guess, Indian.
And but that's not her person. That's not why.
Right. Okay. There you go. Yeah, like,
she's important.
Whereas with the character in Shrill, it was like, that's it. Like, every conversation where you learn something about her is just like a new identity.
And I also wonder if they made her British to make her safer for white people.
Like, more palatable.
Or to get it away from the race discussion,
yes.
too.
Oh, she's British. Like, you know, anytime a black person has a British accent, they're looked at, you know, a little bit higher in stature or in class or whatever, because they have
an
accent. So stupid, but that's how we are as a society.
But yeah, I think within Special, I know you showed us a small clip of that,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not here to just, like, validate each one of these, but, like, the first thing I said was, like, oh, yay, she has big titties, like, because for me, like, when I see these big bodies, I'm like, I don't know how y'all feel, but I'm very excited anytime I see, like, a role that looks like mine, or, like, something, because there's still this very, like, again, a palatable fatness. Like, you have to be fat in the right places. Ashley Graham, like, everybody's like, even whenever I talk about, like, loving my body, people are like, yeah, Ashley Graham. And I'm like, guys, like, No, she is a size 12. Like, she's barely plus size now. So you have to be fat in the right places. You got to be fat in the ass. You got to, you know what I mean? And so
you got to be hourglass.
Exactly. And so to me, like, and obviously we can go beyond that, but I appreciated, and I'm not sure what her name is, in special.
Kim, she's how you said?
The character Kim's body. And then as we move down the list of some more of the people within.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit, especially when it comes to like the gay community. Like, there's all these subsets, right? Categories. Yes. And, you know, bear is one of them. Chub, I guess.
Oh, wow.
And so I would be considered, I'm not furry. Like, I'm not, I don't have a lot of body hair because of my indigenous blood. Sorry, kids, I'm not laughing.
You're so spicy.
Oh my God. But I don't really fit into categories like that. And like, you know, you go to all these like parties in LA or whatever, and everybody's naked and it's like fat guys, you know, in Speedos, but they're not, I'm like, I don't really see stretch marks, you know what I mean? Or they're like covered in body hair in the right places and they're kind of like muscle bare, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
you still have to have that specific.
There's levels, and I'm like, well, what if you're like half Mexican, half Guatemalan, and look like a raw chicken when you're naked? Oh, like, where's that?
I fucking love chicken.
Hey, me too, bitch. I love me. So it's like, where's, I've never seen that.
We want to explore beyond that.
On television, at a pool party, you know? Like, yeah, there was a lot of fat women in that Shrill episode. And even in this episode, there's a pool party even in special with all these. Actually, that's part of the episode in special because there's all these hot gay guys everywhere. But it's still,
you know, they were like,
there's still a lot of work to do, you know, like when it comes to that.
They were all like very femme, too.
Yes.
Like, I could never see myself within that space. Like, if I wasn't, like, if I was finally at some point comfortable enough to be like in a bathing suit amongst all these
shorts.
Yeah, I would like, I would still not be like that feminine energy. Like, I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have a full face of makeup. Like, I wouldn't have all these things. And probably that would turn me away from it, too. Like, hyper femininity, like, you like, I don't know, a lot of the icons that have been popping up, like Lizzo or like even, I don't know, whoever else, like, they're usually very feminine, and that's a part of like the movement, because it's like people think that you can't be feminine when you're fat, like, which is wrong.
Well, because a lot of people equate femininity to beauty, right?
Right.
So that's really what it becomes, is like this hyper femininity so that they can be seen as beautiful.
Right.
Again, I feel like I'm talking about myself a lot. I'm not trying to, but it is about fatness, and so whatever.
I think it's fine.
But I know for a fact, if I don't have makeup on, I get treated completely different than when I do.
Same.
I hate you, bitch. I hate you.
Yeah.
Raw chicken galore glam.
Oh my God.
El pollo loco. Yeah, you get treated different. I mean, we walked into that burger spot today, and the lady was like, I love your eyebrows.
Stop, she I'm still thinking about you. The chicken. Okay, I'm sorry. But yes, it's very true, because when I'm not wearing, and I honestly like to play, and I want to play more with that. I used to hate being feminine. I wore basketball shorts and black shirts and flip-flops. Like, I was very that. And then it was like my mom was encouraging femininity a lot more. I was repulsed by it for a long time. And then I kind of reclaimed it more, I guess, in college and when I learned actual gender, like, discussions. But I think that is necessary, right? Especially in the queer community, because it's like, we play with all this shit, so allow us to be that way. However, if it's created by A.D. Bryant and her mostly hetero, straight, white team,
that's
they're
what
not going to think
gonna,
about
that's
it
what they're
as
gonna,
much.
Yeah, they're just going to turn that out.
For
it,
sure.
It was tough because, like, I don't know, especially being in the lesbian community, like, it becomes, sometimes I see it as kind of cliquish. Like, there's the white lesbians who are usually very skinny, very pretty, and only date each other.
Mm.
Like, they usually, like, date somebody that looks exactly like them.
Yes.
And then there's, like, there's a lot of butch women who are big, and you don't get to see very much of that.
You know what? I just thought about that. I'm like, there is somebody that represents me and my body type.
It was butch lesbians.
Fortune Feimster. right? The comedian. I love her.
I saw her on.
And there's nobody Tales else. The there's not a lot of people like her. Mm-mm. That with her body on TV
and that are seemingly confident.
She is so she's just so comfortable in her own skin. I mean, that's her outward appearance. Who knows, in real life? But I really look up to her for that reason. Yeah.
There is another one who I saw her in this movie called The Feels. I would argue I like her better a lot more than Fortune.
Okay,
but she hasn't blown up yet per se.
Sorry, I just thought of more butt of jokes. The one that was in the movie with Gina Rodriguez and the curly hair, where she has the boyfriend, they break up.
Oh, the one that's in everything now?
Yes, she's on all these Netflix things. She's hilarious.
She's amazing.
But she's also kind of just your comic relief.
She's comic relief. She was also on Tales of the City. She ended up with this old white guy.
Yeah, sorry, I just thought of that and I was like, oh my God, that's literally what we are.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, they didn't really talk about her fatness, but she was I wouldn't say she's the butt of the joke, but she's a comedic relief. Yeah,
but then that will take me back to a lot of the fat people I know are actually fucking funny. So part of me is is that just humor's our coping mechanism with our trauma, and that's what it is, or is it that we are seen as it's maybe both? Are we seen as funny because society can't take us seriously because we're fat, which means we are less than,
or is it because? Or as a part of it, because literally most of us try to be funny because...
Yeah, it's a coping mechanism.
Because that's how we get people to like us.
That's literally
how we bait people. And
yeah.
That's how skinny people will finally acknowledge our humanity.
Yes, that's how we're made valid. If it wasn't for my humor, I would not be where I am right now.
I very recently have met some very boring skinny people. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously not gonna name any names, but very boring skinny people recently, and I just recall it kind of triggered me to remember I was making all these jokes and being I was on my fucking ass working hard
knock,
to make
knock. Where's your trauma?
I was I was trying to be as funny as I fucking could, and I reeled in a lot of people with that. But had I been acting this one skinny girl who was really boring, I wouldn't have gotten any attention. I wouldn't have, nobody would have invited me out. Nobody would, you know what I mean?
Right.
If I act like these skinny people, nothing's going to happen for me.
That's how we value people. What do you bring to me?
Yeah. And they bring the skinny, I bring the funny. I don't know.
Yeah. I find that I have to be nice more. I think that if I was thinner, because I know I'm attractive. Hello. But if I
raw chicken galore.
I find myself in situations where I have to be everybody's best friend.
Mm.
And then I get fed up. And then it's an issue with my friendships, because then when people really get to know me, then the dark side comes out.
I'm only laughing because hashtag relatable.
Relatable, right?
Yes.
Dark side of the
chicken. I feel like we're pretty close, and I feel like you maybe have seen that a little bit, but not as much. I really love you guys, so... I don't think I've really attacked you yet.
No.
Please don't.
But it's coming, bitches. No, I'm working on it. You know what I found out recently? This is real talk, very vulnerable bullshit. But I was talking to my friend, and we were talking about therapy and how important it is, and that her therapist just told her that a lot of times when people grow up with a lot of trauma, they love the way that their parents love them.
Girl.
And so, for example, if you were in a very abusive relationship, with your family, if you're...
You're used to toxic love.
Yeah, if you're used to toxic love, that's how you also express love. And it was when she said that, that fucking hit me like a ton of bricks.
You need to read All About Love by Bell Hooks.
Yes, I know. I have it in my Libby app. Hashtag Libby, hashtag sponsor. So... I that was really eye-opening, because that's something that I talk about with my friends a lot. My roommate Crystal, who I've lived with her for over 9 years now, and 3 years into our friendship, I was really mean to her, and we were really mean to each other. And it's because we grew up kind of the same, with our parents being very stern and not nice to us, because that was the way, immigrant family, there's no crying here.
That's how they deal with their depression.
This is how we deal. We suppress everything. And we were doing that to each other because that's how we express love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And how you received it.
Yeah. And so that's something that was learned. It's something that's, I realized it was a learned behavior growing up. And my mom also has weight issues.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, she's an emotional eater. I'm an emotional eater. I'm happy I eat. I'm sad I eat. I'm mad I eat. You know what I mean? Just to cope. Just to do something. You know what I mean? And so all of these things are realizations that I'm having right now that are like, it's almost like too much to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm realizing, like, I have a couple new friends that I'm getting close to right now. And I'm stopping myself from making fun of them because it's so easy. Because people are fucking weak. So it's like, it's so easy.
Can you just at me? Thank you.
No. It's so, I've noticed, I'm like, oh wait, it's because I'm comfortable. It's because I love them.
And that's our culture.
And
you're right. I do it all the time. Right, I still do it.
Instead of jabbing at them, I'm gonna actually say something nice, you know? And it's been like, it's a lot.
It's hard.
It's a lot. And it's a lot of trauma that we've been carrying around for so long that we don't want to deal with because it's so much fucking work. Just like having to be the fucking funny one, having to be everybody's best friend at a museum event. So it's like, come on, like, can I just be a person, you know? Mm. Like, why do I have to be nice to everybody?
I just want
to
exist how I am in that moment.
Yes. But what started me on that rant?
Feelings.
Oh, no, talking about being the funny person.
Yeah.
You know? Because you can't. You can't be a mean fat person.
Mm.
Look what happened to Roseanne.
Even though that's kind of what they tried to make that girl on Shrill be, is a mean fat person.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again,
I'm going to keep Roseanne going down our list. That makes us become the villain or the bully in a lot of scenarios. In a lot of movies,
yeah,
Matilda included.
Even Harry Potter. Like,
yeah.
J.K. Miss Trenchbowl.
Exactly.
My queen. Icon.
Oh yeah, but really think about it. Like, that's what we become. We're either the funny, like, small bit.
It's like we can't control.
Or we're the villain. We're Ursula, which is a popular discussion right now because of the Little Mermaid casting and all that. But it's like we're literally either the monster villain because we're fat and mean, or we are the funny, silly one that you only like because we are funny to you.
It sucks a lot to... Because back then, I wouldn't even think about it. I would see these movies and I'm like, yeah, that fat person's a horrible fucking person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, now I look back at it and I'm like, yo,
look back at it.
Hey, throw it back.
And it's kind of, like, depressing.
Yeah, it's an ingrained message you didn't even, like, process.
Yeah, it's really, really fucked up.
Yeah, so many poor, unfortunate souls.
God, that's
hey!
Good.
Callback. Yeah, so Ursula in the new Little Mermaid movie is going to be played by Melissa McCarthy. Thank God.
Who lost a shit ton of weight.
And you know what? I was kind of upset because I always thought that Ursula should be a person of color or a drag queen.
Right.
You
a
know?
Drag queen
or somebody queer
iconic.
Or a queer woman. But I kind of fuck with Melissa McCarthy.
I'm not mad at her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, what everybody
said. It just felt out of place because everybody was excited. Lizzo had a whole campaign to try to be in it.
Oh, my God. Queen Latifah's going to play her in
the
play, right?
Yeah, like the musical version on... Yeah, animated, what do they call it?
Live.
Whatever the fuck.
Live stage. Yeah.
Which, version. That feels like great casting. That feels like, okay, I like this.
But the conversation was kind of turned around once they cast a black...
Mermaid.
Ariel.
Yes.
So,
make Ariel fat. That would be really fucking cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yes. I know where you're going. Go there.
Yeah.
The tweet
where they're like, you know, a white woman taking away a black woman's voice
makes
kind
a lot more sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And when they said that, I said, you, that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
A
white woman?
A white woman taking away a black woman's voice.
Oh, that's
what Ursula does. So it's like, oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah, and she's like, yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, I think it'd be like, I just
look at it that way, folks.
Like, Lizzo would not do that to Haley. Yeah.
And I have another really important question. Will the priest have a boner in this one?
What
the priest has a boner?
You've never rewound it?
No.
You remember the original cover of The Little Mermaid had a phallic object?
Oh my god.
Yeah, they pulled it off the shelves.
If you watch the old Little Mermaid movie,
wow,
when Eric and Ariel are getting married, the robe, like on the priest, that like a boner.
Pitching a tent.
He pitches a
damn
tent.
Damn it, I didn't remember that. I gotta watch it now.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's a very innocent child.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. That's when hidden Mickeys were really hidden. Okay. So yeah, I to get back on track, we were talking about all these new shows that came out with fat representation, and you, Maite, turned me on to this show that I'm definitely going to watch. We watched the first episode today, American Housewife, and the very first line of the show, it's on Hulu.
Yes.
Is this woman kind of like washing the dishes with her family in the house, and the fat neighbor across the street who's fatter than her is moving out. And so then she's going to be like the second fattest person in her neighborhood.
In her, yeah, in her yeah. like little town.
And so she's worried about that. And I remember us touching on that in
part one.
Our part one, like how whenever I go into a room, I always am aware of people's sizes. Like I look around, I'm like, yeah, I'm the fattest person here. And then I look at the chairs. Oh, am I gonna fit in the chairs?
Am I gonna break the chair?
Am I gonna break the chair?
Oh shit.
Then I look around, I'm like, oh, is there any people of
it's
color?
It's like an airplane. Yeah, the airplane exactly. ride is another one.
So it's just like this more, we have a different awareness maybe than people that are a smaller size, you know?
People from the thin community.
From the thin community.
Thin yeah. privilege.
Yeah, but I wonder if the writers on American Housewife are people of a certain size. Yeah.
That is interesting. I didn't get to look into any of that.
Because that definitely changes the context as right. well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love American Housewife. I didn't know that I would. The reason that I watched it, mm-hmm. I do a very regular search of queer characters in TV, period. This is like a very frequent thing that I do. And they have a queer character who plays her best friend on there. Mm. And she's a black woman, and her other best friend is like Ali Wong. So like,
and the main character is a white lady.
Yeah, she's a white mm-hmm. woman who's...
So that's how they make fat people palatable still, for the record. Because I don't think any of them have been people of color that are fat people. Am I wrong?
As the main character
As the of main show? Fat character of any of these shows.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Just wondering.
Of course.
Just got to set that up because yeah. I would like to see it, like Monique said.
White women go first.
Right.
Apparently. So this show is comedy. I think it's ABC, and like I didn't realize that I would fall in love with this main character so much because she's funny. She's also mean. She's also like pretty ruthless, and like her the storyline of her family a lot of the time is having a lot less money and like status than their neighbors. So I related to it on that level where I have a lot of insecurities about growing up poor and stuff and shit like mm-hmm. that. So I fell in love with that show, and she is insecure of her body, but it's like the same way that we all are. So I don't know.
It feels like it's in a natural way.
It feels like it's in a realistic way.
Okay,
I'm actually excited to watch that show.
Yeah,
I think I like it. I think I'm gonna like it.
Mm-hmm. And they also have like her kid is like she has like OCD.
Oh right, yes, yeah.
Relatable. Yes, content. She does.
Yeah.
Another show we talked about was Euphoria, and I actually haven't seen it, so no spoilers, please.
Too bad.
I'll
try.
It's on my list. It's on my list.
We should watch that tonight.
Okay.
So
I'm down.
So the reason that Euphoria is kind of, or one of the reasons that Euphoria is taking the world by storm is because of Barbie Ferreira, who's a white Latina.
Whitinos.
Yes.
Yes.
And
I'll never get my own show.
Sorry.
Oh, I will, bitch. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
You already have your own show. Declarator is Radio.
You can be my best friend in the show.
Can you get your ass?
I'll give you a B storyline.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to make you like just check off every single box.
Okay.
I'll
give you like a little ladder so you don't have to hop over the fence.
Oh my god, step Jesus. Up. Upgrade. Level up. Level up.
Shout out to Gabby.
fuck me. Where
were we? You were talking
Barbie
about
Ferreira.
Euphoria.
Yeah. Latina.
La Barbie Ferreira.
Mm-hmm. She plays Kat Hernandez. And she starts off, I think
she actually embodies a lot of the things we've discussed already.
She does. She's in the Gen Z form.
Oh, okay.
So she, like,
we're already at Generation Z.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, damn, what are we?
Millennials.
Well, girl, where you been?
What you mean?
I'm a millennial?
Yeah.
You're an old millennial.
It's true. I know I'm a millennial. Sorry.
You are. You're not.
Shout out this older
spectrum. But we're not Generation Y?
No.
No, baby.
That's not how they're determined. There's Boomer, and then there's
X. Millennial. No. The ones above us are, I don't remember them.
Might be Gen X.
Gen X.
And then we were millennial, and there's Gen Z.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to Y?
I think it's Generation Y me turned into generations. It's
Gen millennial X. Because of the wait what?
Or sorry,
yeah, millennial, but just because the millennium happened.
Yeah, yeah,
2000s. But anyways, yeah, it's Gen Z format. So she like does what maybe I don't know if you guys did this, but what I definitely did is go on Tumblr and find yourself, and she finds popularity online, but not in real life. And she's like, there's this whole story. It's just too hard to not spoil.
I think we can discuss her without spoiling her. I don't think it's spoiling her. I think we see her discover herself, and like the most empowering scene for that I had multiple friends send me the screenshot before I watched it, which was like the quote.
When she's walking through the mall.
Do you remember it without fucking it up?
I don't know it perfectly, but I can definitely say it well enough. But it's like, Kat Hernandez is realizing after she kind of gets this makeover and kind of like stops giving a fuck about what people think of her and like shit like that.
Everyone else.
Yeah. So she like kind of has like a personality and like a wardrobe makeover, mm-hmm. and she's walking through the mall looking like a bad bitch.
Yeah.
And it's something like she realizes or like.
The most dangerous thing in the world is like a confident fat woman or something like that. Or
the most powerful thing in the world is a fat woman who doesn't give a fuck.
Yes, that's what it was. And yeah. I said, ooh.
It hits really hard.
I mean, and multiple people sent it to me and I hadn't watched it yet. And I was like, okay, shit, let me watch this.
I'd never, well, I mean, I guess I have, but I pretty much haven't in like that kind of narrative television seen a scene where they treat her like they do the hot blonde. Mm-hmm. She's walking through the mall and everybody's turning their heads, everybody's shook like drooling over this woman.
And again, that's because she's still very palatable, right? She's
a white Latina.
She's white Latina, but she's also honestly almost like Ashley Graham style fat, where it's like that early light fat where you're like thick, quote unquote.
She still has a neck.
Yes,
the double chin from the neck up. She like
looks thin.
She could pass as thin sometimes. Yes.
And so that's the thing that I'm like, of course it has to be palatable by high school standards. Sure,
thin she's passing
high school, but yeah, that's the real difference is that in high school being fat like is completely different from being fat like now, like when you're older, like she in comparison to all these super skinny like Zendaya body type people is big.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think within her character, she has... Because she's very sweet and kind of timid at first. And then she, like, ends up discovering, like, the web... what's it called? Like, webcamming?
Yeah. She becomes, like, webcam-girling so and, like, getting money.
So she becomes, like, a dom. And so she becomes mean. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting to see this shift in her own character. She's not really mean to her friends so much, per se.
But kind of. Because she makes that connection. Because
she's trying to, like, distinguish herself from this personality she's kind of created for this online persona. So it's actually really interesting to see her embody a lot of these things we're discussing, where
like the mistrust of men.
Yes. And then she's like, and this is where, like, as you know, I guess a hetero woman, it's really interesting because she was like, oh, you don't want to just fuck me? Because it becomes very that in the hetero dating world, where it's like we do just become either like their fetish or they're like they think we're desperate for their fucking, and it's like, no, like we don't have to be that. But she ends up kind of reclaiming it back for herself again. That's not super spoilery. I'm sorry if it was, but you should definitely still watch it because I think that was mad vague. I'm
definitely gonna watch it.
Right, like we didn't spoil like specific actions that not make at all. Her. Do right. what she okay. does at all.
Okay, you can start talking about it now.
Shut up, bitch.
No, but it's lovely that she's also that's too much of a spoiler. I like where her storyline ends up at the end of the season. I'll say that. Like, okay. I just really like it.
Okay,
and
she's a fun character.
and she's just wild interesting, like, mm-hmm. just, I don't know, the all of Euphoria, I've already talked about in a previous episode, really intrigued me, but Kat Hernandez in particular took the world by storm. Like, Barbie Ferreira, like, everyone's talking about how beautiful she is,
right? But then again, it's still like, I'm gonna keep pushing this thing because I know I wonder it with my, even my own quote-unquote brand or whatever I'm doing, that a lot of my friends are encouraging me to do, but I'm like, how, it's hard to get the support of people as a brown person who might not be seen as the norm in beauty world. All these shows that we've discussed have had these fat main characters as white or white passing people.
Right.
So they're going to be accepted because that's still the form of beauty that's accepted in the world. And so, I mean, that can lead us to our next discussion, which is kind of this resurgence of Missy Elliott that's been occurring. And we definitely talked about her and Lizzo last episode as well. But Missy didn't get a lot of the credit she deserved until this recent resurgence. I would say it kind of bubbled back up with her performing at Katy Perry's Super Bowl. And then she also was finally accepted into the Music Hall of Fame earlier this year. And then she recently won the Video Vanguard Award, which, shout out to The Read, they really pushed for a lot over the past few years. But it really makes you wonder why she was not getting the credit she deserves. Or you right. can go ahead and say it's because she's was a fat black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are that, you're working times 10 of whatever any other fat person might be working against.
And getting a tenth of the credit.
Exactly. And you're often setting the culture norms, right? And that's what I know I mentioned a million times last episode, is that your Moniques, your Missies, your Queen Latifahs, your all these bigger black women were really what was setting the standard for me to even have a fucking confidence to be able to say I can be beautiful and dance and this and that. And so, like, seeing that it took her this long to really kind of get re-recognized is really sad. And then also beautiful at the same time, because of someone like Missy, we're seeing Lizzo. And Lizzo is very, gosh, very adamant on her appreciation of Missy.
And I also wonder what the conversations are around Lizzo, and if it worked the other way around too. Because Lizzo is so popular now, are people paying, are the youngins, are the, what do you call them, Generation Z?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
paying you sound so old.
These youngins.
What are the youths?
Hey, they're kids, or what is
are they? Because a lot of people didn't.
How do you
a
do,
lot of
these kids,
I bet.
I'm 30 Rock. And his shirt says Music Band.
What did you say today? What, in Tarnation?
Yeah.
I wonder how many of these kids saw Missy Elliott for the first time at the VMAs this year.
I mean, know? And that's what that whole video was, right?
Yeah, throwback. Yeah, for sure.
But, like, I grew up watching Missy.
Yeah.
And so I was able to, even if she wasn't, because she's not ever really vocalizing, like, queerness or vocalizing fatness, but she's just kind of showing it, right? Like, right. She's just, like, subtly showing it. Like, within her own video, she's not including a lot of fat people.
Just herself.
Correct. Lizzo is like, nah, y'all gonna see fat bitches.
And that's why I really, it got me thinking the other day. It's like, remember when Beyonce came out with her self-titled album? And, you know, she was claiming her feminist identity, mm-hmm. and, like, teaching, basically, her stands about feminism, mm-hmm. with her songs, with her performances. I remember I went to see the Mrs. Carter tour. It's the first time I saw it, which is kind of ironic that it was called the Mrs. Carter tour and it was about feminism.
Yeah, reclaiming.
But that's reclaiming her own in her own way.
Right, okay. I respect that. I respect it. And so
we won't talk Jay-Z right now.
No. Mm. But do you remember how Beyonce was criticized for just having the word feminism behind her, or feminist behind her, during her musical numbers for that tour? Like, oh, now Beyonce's a feminist. Great. Mm-hmm. We thought,
even Bell Hooks went in on her.
Yeah, like, oh, great. We can't just have entertainment anymore. It all has to have a message. And then now we have somebody like Lizzo fighting fat phobia, the patriarchy, all this fucking homophobia with her songs. And I haven't heard a lot of backlash
at all
on Twitter.
But it has taken her a long time, right?
And Truth Hurts, like you were mentioning earlier, Truth Hurts has been out for years.
Yes. And I was like, yo, I've been trying to put y'all on for a minute.
Right. I'm not saying that I'm not saying that Lizzo had to work twice. I'm going to say it now. She had to work harder than Beyonce to get to where absolutely. She is right now. Even though Beyonce worked very, very hard. But like, it's amazing how Lizzo took her power as a fat black woman. And her being black is a big thing because mm-hmm. look at all the powerful fat people, fat women on TV. They're usually black women, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know.
Again, they become butt of the jokes a lot of times as well.
Yes. But Lizzo took that and subverted that power and then used it for good.
Yes, because she's intentional with it.
And she's really smart. And it's using all the things that we talked about. Her size, the trauma that she turned into comedy, into being a funny person, and then deciding that her message was gonna be about self-love. And I mean, I heard her interview with Terry Gross on Fresh Air. Mm-hmm. And she called out Terry Gross. Like,
what did she say?
She's like, basically that she was tired of people talking about body positivity. Like, I am who I am. It's not that big a deal.
That's not all there is to me.
That's not all there is to me. And it kind of shook her, you know?
Yeah.
And so...
It shakes a lot of interviews. I got mm-hmm. asked once by a person who has learned and grown from this. But because we talked about on our podcast, like, being... queer is not the most interesting thing about us. Mm. And they're like, but that's what
people
you guys
love boxing you in.
Yeah, but they're like, but that's what you're self-identifying at, but that's what you're talking about. And it's like, it's still not the most interesting
but I'm
thing
all of
about
that
me.
And more.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know.
And I love that relationship. Like, you think about, people think about like Beyonce and like how she's paved the way for so many black women and so many women artists. And I actually think of it the other way too, like how much other artists influenced her. Like, I saw Homecoming. She had maybe 2-3 thick girls on stage.
I mean, but it was a big deal even her having two big women at that Coachella performance.
Exactly. Would those thick women have been on stage without Lizzo?
I mean, and that's where like
that's you what can, I think about.
You can definitely think of that, but I think there's also just a natural, and Lizzo is a big face of it. But I think there's a natural resurgence within plus size modeling and the plus size community in general, because they're actually being seen. I know there's recently a Calvin Klein ad that just came out with big bodies. There's a Nike ad with big bodies, and some of them might not be so big, but I follow a lot of the models and the ones I follow that are still not palatable bodies, right? They are really fat. They're not palatable fat. They're not cute Ashley Graham fat. They're like, hey, we're fucking fat. They struggle a lot. They will get a great campaign or a shoe campaign or design a whatever with somebody, and they will still be struggling, because it's only when it serves these companies, you know, whenever they want it or when it's in. And right now, inclusivity is in and activism is in. And so that's what gets really scary, mm-hmm. because it's like, is it just clickbait or do y'all actually give a fuck? Because I bought a Nike bra and that hoe still don't fit me, right?
Marketing is marketing, right?
Like, right. And so that's where like you have...
Audiences have to keep it in the loop.
For sure. And like, because even on that Homecoming performance, which I know I discussed it a little bit on De Colores, Beyonce's amazing, yes. But even her saying that she wasn't eating to fit in this dress is not fucking helping the culture. Mm-mm. It's not. It's fucking toxic to especially, say you're starving yourself when we already see you as glorious, sis. Like, we really do. We already love you for that. So when we continue to push this narrative of keto and this and that or whatever fucking new fad is in, it's like, do we really have to hate ourselves that much? That we have to be thin? Is thin equate happiness?
And it also, by doing that, she put it in the context of like her working hard to make this performance great. Mm-hmm. So like it kind of, you can turn it around and be like, oh, fat people are fat because they're not working hard enough.
Right.
And it's like,
To be thin.
Yeah. So shit. I don't know. That's where,
yeah,
that line was really problematic. I get that's the pressure, but just talking about it is maybe...
And I mean, and that's what happens. And we again might have discussed the last episode where it's like that also becomes a thing of access and resource. And I wanted to bring up the last few, which I really appreciate because they are very, they seem to be very comfortable in their fatness, which is our girl, Nicole Byer.
I fucking stan. Like, I've never, I don't think I've ever loved a comedian as much as Nicole Byer. And I think it's because of the, of what you were just talking about. Her work ethic is incredible. She's funny, of course. But she's one of the hardest working comedians in show business, right? Right. Like,
and she again is a black woman, so she hasn't had it easy at any regard. But I, alongside her, I want to bring up from Black Lady Sketch Show, Ashley Nicole Black, I believe is her name.
Brown.
I always say Ashley Black because that's another person. Let me look it up. I'm sorry.
Well, Nicole Byer played her doppelganger.
Okay, so that Ashley Nicole Black. It's Ashley Nicole Black.
It's like you were funny. They're funny, but they're also making a very bold statement.
Which is very fucking relatable, right? So they joke about it in relation to invisibility. And I've heard multiple fat women say that, and I myself just said, when I don't have makeup on, I don't get treated right. For real, I don't. And so that whole bit of that was like these two fat black women who were playing fucking FBI like or spy agent superstars because they were able to be invisible to everyone around them simply because they were fat.
Right.
And so it made it that much funnier and more relatable, which I even was cracking up on another episode when Ashley says something along the lines of like, oh, men, married men love to cheat with fat bitches. And I, my friend screamed, Ari screamed because I have said that to her multiple times. Because the number of married men that try to hit on me scares me.
God.
And I'm like, why are y'all doing this? Like. Is it a fetish
that happened
for you?
To me last night.
Wow. With a married person?
Yeah.
And you were like,
ew. With like two kids.
Oh, shit.
And then I brought up his kids and he was like, oh, yeah. Got super awkward. Super
But it's like they really see us as their like either their fetish, their dream, their fantasy. And it's like, why do we have to, why can't we exist in your real life? Why are y'all so afraid to be with us in real life?
I mean, I don't want to be alone. But,
you know. I know, but I mean me in any regard. Yeah, I get it, like, I'm fucking amazing enough to be dated and shown around to your family without you being scared of what your tia's gonna say because my body's fat and she hates hers and I love mine. Like, that's your problem, not mine, right? But it's because we're so afraid of fatness. And as I just scrolled through Instagram, Lizzo's on stage dancing with DaBaby, who is a fucking, like, hard-ass rapper. And so I'm like, that sends a message, right? Like, that says to people, I'm allowed to love this and love it for who it is and not just what I think it can do for me.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of reminded me, not anymore. I feel like I'm not that invisible anymore, but that has a lot to do with the comedy thing where like I make myself likable to people, especially when I just meet them. But when I was a kid, I didn't have that. Yeah. I didn't have that. I don't know. I was very shy. I didn't talk right. Like, I hadn't developed that defense mechanism yet. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, I was literally invisible to people that I was standing in front of sometimes as a kid. And, like, one of my, like, most traumatizing moments is about that, where, like, I was left out of the conversation. And it was, like, one of my skinny friends brought me up. But, like, that shit was, like,
tough. You know what I do sometimes? And I actually realize this now. It's because I have male privilege, cis, white passing male privilege, is that when people don't acknowledge them in a room or standing next to them, I will stand there and just look at them like in the face, like until they make eye contact with me, like for an uncomfortably long time where they will like look up at me. And it's like something that I've just been doing more consciously now because I realize people don't.
How do they react?
They're weirded out because, like, I don't know. Like,
but they don't challenge it.
No, they don't challenge it. It's because I'm a safe
yeah,
safe person.
And you're a male.
Because I'm fat, because I'm gay, because whatever, you know? But it's like, I see people doing that, like, ignoring that I'm in a space. And it's, to me, I've just been, a lot of my artwork is about this. It's just, like, about taking up space and how we navigate space as people of color, as queer people. And we talked about it on the last episode, how we're either hyper visible or we're invisible.
Right.
Right? And it's like, no, you're going to fucking acknowledge my existence at this grocery store or at this gym or
right.
at this... You know, it's like at this restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you.
And you can respect me as equal.
Yeah.
Instead of less than. Because what I see, for me, especially from hetero men, is I become the villain, right? I become the villain to them because I hold them accountable. I don't feel like I'm a mean person by I don't really think I am. But because of the confidence or whatever I carry, like, people quickly make me that way, right? Because I'm very direct and kind of like... I don't know. I don't really know, but I've encountered it a lot more often, especially with hetero men, especially with hetero Latino men specifically, because I'm like the triple threat against everything that a Latina woman is supposed to be. So I do think that's an interesting point to bring up, because I'm sure you don't get that kind of thing, and I get that often. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating to me, because a lot of women are really excited about me, and they're like, ooh, because I'm like what they wish they could be in a way, I guess. I don't really fucking know. I don't really understand it. I'm still getting used to it. But it is super fascinating, but I definitely think taking into consideration colorism, sexism, even ageism, like all those different things need to be discussed, because shit, depending on my shade, like it's going to be different depending on my makeup, depending on whatever setting I'm in, depending on how I'm talking to you. It's always going to be different.
Yeah, and this is a call to action for all you skinny bitches listening to this.
Fuck you,
all
skinny bitches. Fuck you, skinny bitches. In the club. I want to see that. Okay.
Stand up for your fat friends. Like, if you don't see this, start paying attention.
But also clock your own fat phobia.
Yes. Start paying attention to where you sit in a restaurant when your fat friend comes to you. Start paying attention to how people treat fat people around you, and you'll start seeing it. Like, people don't believe us a lot of times. A lot of people say I'm overreacting when I say things like this, and yes, a lot of it is our own insecurities. Like, who isn't insecure, you know?
Me. But our insecurities aren't taken as seriously as, like,
they're not.
Because it's our fault, because we're fat.
Start paying attention and start using your privilege to speak up, because one of my best friends, black, queer, gender fluid person, we have basically like grown up together, and we've had really serious conversations within the last couple of years, where they can't speak up because then they'll be the crazy black person talking. So when I'm with them and somebody says something out of pocket, I step in and say something, because people will listen to me and not listen to them. And so it's something that I was blind to for so many years. For years, I didn't see that. And it just took a couple instances and us kind of recapping after, like, hey, when you said that to that lady, I really appreciate that, because I couldn't say that, because then we probably would have been kicked out of the bar. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I started noticing everything. Like, every time we would walk into a room together, how we were treated differently. You know what I mean? So, yeah. It's a call to action, folks.
Yeah. But it's like, to kind of round out the conversation, yeah. Like, it's very similar to being queer, to being, like, a person of color. Like, the discrimination, like, has a very similar feel, like speaking as a person who is also queer and a woman or whatever, like, and has to go through those things. Like, being fat, out of all my identities, that's the hardest one. Like,
and that's beyond the world, that's beyond culture. Like, that's what I have to tell people. Like, when fat phobia is worldwide, cross culture, cross,
and it's the same everything. Shit. Like, people that are out there screaming about, like, homophobia or whatever other, like, horrible discriminatory things that, like, society has mostly now accepted to be horrible things, fat phobia is not one of those that has been accepted as one of those horrible things.
Because it's still a joke to most people.
Yeah, like, it's the same shit, guys. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's terrible.
Yeah, and I also want to mention, like, and I'm not talking about just, like, defending your friends in front of, like, your whack-ass family at a party or at a grocery store with some bigots. I'm talking about, I've had to do this in spaces that are very socially conscious and woke, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, tell us more.
I've just been in spaces and institutions academically and maybe with other artists that, you know, social justice spaces, mm-hmm, where this happens and fat phobia and colorism is ignored, mm-hmm, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Even in these spaces.
Absolutely.
Because most of the people that are listening to this, you know, if you've made it this far.
And they're
far,
very ableist and all that. Yeah. As well.
Like, yo, we got
the same criticism as like when we criticize white feminism, mm-hmm, because they're like very like tunnel vision. They only really care about like one thing. It's the same
right
kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm, even if you're in this queer, blah, blah space, like, there's probably still some fat phobia there.
Right. And that's why I always say start internal. Because if you don't start internal, it doesn't matter if you're calling out your friends or whoever. If you're still like, I hate myself for being 10 extra pounds, right? Like, why do you hate yourself, yeah, for that? Like, and maybe we can do a fucking part 3 and really discuss more of the dissection of fatness and where this stuff like really derived from. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I know I want to read more on that. And I know, like, I'm glad to see Roxane Gay and all these other people kind of discussing it more and really discussing their relationship to it and their trauma. And I know for myself, I want to dissect that as well, and like a lot of that's connected to gut and gut trauma. I mean, trauma's connected to the gut trauma. I don't know what
your
that
feelings
is
in your stomach,
correct, together. And so like all of that happens through there, and so that to me is so fascinating in general, which I think we got some questions, so I wanted to kind of jump, yeah, into that as well, because I think there's a lot more there that we don't discuss, and it's really a complicated discussion, and it's maybe not that complicated, but because they're so rare, it becomes more complex because everybody kind of just hones in their personal life experiences. So I wanted to start with a response I received. I'm going to keep them all anonymous.
Okay.
I said that wrong.
Anonymous. Yeah, anonymous.
Half a drink and here I am.
Anonymous.
This person, trigger warning, eating disorder.
Okay.
They just shared how they felt about it. They said, listening to the first part the other day of the episode, I agreed with everything y'all discussed. I needed to hear all that. I refused for years to go to the dentist because I was bulimic for a decade or so. When I finally went to the dentist recently, they told me how bad my teeth are. I still couldn't admit out loud it was from my eating disorder. Body image is so damn tough. It literally affects how you care for yourself in so many ways. So that one was just a response. Obviously that was a lot. So thank you for sharing that. And that's very vulnerable of you. But I think that's the side effects, right? Like that's what happens, because we are so ashamed of that and not fitting whatever image, society, primarily like white society, has created for us to be the norm or the beauty standard.
I've heard people, like fat people, use bulimia as a joke, where they're like, oh, I tried to be bulimic once, that, yeah, type of thing. And it's like, I get why they're doing that joke. It's fucked up. Mm-hmm. But because like when I was younger, I used to sometimes find myself like fetishizing eating disorders. I used to be like, that could be my way out. And like now I look back at it and I'm like, holy fuck,
or this shit was food poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From eating Bluebell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Did you get food poisoning from eating?
No, I made that joke earlier.
Oh, where was I?
At the grocery store.
I fucking would fantasize about that shit, man. Because I'm just like, what's the fucking easy way out? It was fucking...
Because you thought you would find thinness through that?
Yeah. That
like,
shit's
you,
like...
Yeah, you were like, you could almost die, but you look thin.
Yeah. No, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, yeah. And I want to be open and admit that, like, recently I've been having, like... Not like a lot of health issues, but like little things here and there. And I'm like, damn, do I really gotta go on this? Like, I don't wanna go on a diet. That's all I'm saying. But I'm like, I love myself as I am. I really, truly do. And I really have finally learned to like look at my body and not hate it. But at this,
I ain't there yet, but
I mean, and maybe we never will be,
yeah,
but I'm not gonna lie and say I love it every day. And I'm like, yes. Like, no, that's fucking lying. But I'm like, you know what? I don't like that, you know, and we said this last episode, but it's like, okay, it's fine. You know, we're going to work with it. But now that I'm like, I have this pain in my foot and I have this other pain over here, I'm like, well, shit, do I need to, like, I want to do it for actual health reasons, not because I want to be thin.
Yeah.
Not because I think thinness will equate happiness or rid of my depression or rid of my anxieties, right? And that's the thing that, like, if you are trying to lose weight for health reasons, I get it. But unpack that shit.
Yeah.
Is it really for health reasons, or is it because your only standard of beauty and acceptance, and you think that will equate joy in your life, is because you will finally have reached whatever this idea or dream of yourself is? I don't think that's right. And it's easy to say that, right, and still feel that way, right? Because it's the same thing. Will I finally reach love? Will people finally love me if I'm thin? Will people whatever? And it's like, we can be both and. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I can love my body and still not love how I look in the mirror every day.
Yeah. I have a question from Instagram here. I'll keep it anonymous too. Can you guys relate to parents saying, this is relating to what you were just saying, parents saying you're too big, but then encouraging you to overeat as Latinos?
Girl.
Hashtag relatable content. I think more with my grandparents.
Mine's directly with my mom.
With your mom?
Mm-hmm. And my mom's a lovely person, right? But, like, I know my sister sent me a little, like, Instagram photo that said, like, when your parents wouldn't let you leave the table until you finish your food. And it was like, why? Like, why did we have to eat this food if we were done?
I still have hangups on that.
Same. And, like, my friends will laugh at me, but, like, I will take someone's leftovers because I don't want to waste food. Mm-hmm. Because how we were raised was... That's
what it was. It's the immigrant, right? Thing,
it's,
yeah.
Yes. It's, like, how desgraciada, you know? Like, how dare you waste half a chicken nugget? You better finish your food. And so it's, like, now I catch myself doing the same thing. And so to the point of, like... Why am I finishing the, am I full or am I just finishing it? Because that's like in my mind what it is. And so my mom, my whole life, obviously we won't get into it too much. I guess I already said we have to have a part three, but has very much been like, hey, you need to lose weight. Hey, you need to try this diet. And you, I know, have a whole nother binder of experiences, Maite, that you can choose to discuss or not. And you've kind of shared with us a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I told her before I came today, she was like, you want a tamal? You want a taco? You want a this? And I was like, I'm going to eat. Like, yeah. We're going to eat somewhere with my friends. I'm okay. I promise. But it's like culturally, and it's a beautiful thing. They want to take care of us, right? They want to feed us. They want to make sure we're okay. That our culture, and even my therapist has been like, a lot of the things you're discussing, Eva, come with food. And so I'm like, ah, bitch, you ready to unpack this? Like, because it's part of our culture. That's the norm. And so they don't even recognize a lot of the toxic behaviors they have and have instilled in us because we're grateful to even have food to give. So the fact that, like, you're supposed to be thin because that's what beauty is, and that's what is healthy, and that is what the standard is, quote unquote. But you better not be disrespectful and not turn away my food.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience with that, Fabi?
I think that was the same thing. And also, like, I had two very different experiences. Like, my one side of my family, we were pretty poor, and then the other side was middle class. So that was the experience there. Like, there was always food in the fridge. That was the way that my grandmother showed love, was like always feeding me whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And then to the other extreme, where I feel like we never had food at my house. So, like, when there was food, we were, like, me and my brothers were, like, fucking jackals. Like, we were, like, rah, like, whenever there was...
Like, special
like,
snacks.
Like, my mom couldn't... my mom would just... She just would only... Like, you couldn't buy a pack of Oreos at my house. Because me and my brothers would kill it in, like, a second.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different fathers, my brothers and I. So, you know, genetics does have a lot to do with it, too. But, like... They're not, I mean, they're fat now, hot, but I don't know why I get some joy out of that. They're not fat. They're just not as skinny as they used to be because, you know, they're in their 30s now too, like
metabolism,
me.
Metabolism, yeah.
Yeah, so, but they, I, you know, it took me so many years to realize, like, oh, like, I don't have to eat this. Mm. Like, I've already, I know what this tastes like. I'm probably gonna have a chance again to eat this in the future, or I've already had this before, so I don't have to finish it right now. It was like this thing is like, we were like fucking scavengers, you know? And that was just like just a behavior, like a learned behavior, because we were in the hood and like, here, you eat what you can. You know what I mean? That just comes from like having really busy parents, and you know, I don't blame them, because it's, you know, a lot of people are the same way. But yeah, I realized that I have had a very unhealthy relationship with food ever since I was really, really young. And it's because like, if you didn't get to that piece of the pie before everybody else, it would be gone. You know, so it's like, I'll never forget. I was like 5, and my mom, we went to Disneyland, I think. I was very little, and they took the whole, somebody got free tickets or something, because I don't know how we all got, all me and all my cousins went to Disneyland. And my mom, she bought this like special like Mickey Mouse cake and then brought it back with her.
Like a funnel cake?
Hid it in as a chocolate cake and then hid it in the fridge, like probably as a treat or a present for later. And I found it like in the freezer one day. And I remember grabbing it and running to one of the closets
and going to town, just
eating it before my mom got home. And I remember the look on my mom's face when she like got back and she just like found this like empty Mickey Mouse, and she's like, why did you do that? Like, this was for you. I wanted to surprise you with this. And you just like, it was just such a weird, I didn't know how to express like, well, if I didn't eat it, then my brothers would have ate it, or I, you know, it was like this weird,
and it was
survival mode thing.
So I really hope we go into another episode one day and discuss our relationship to food.
Ooh.
Because I mean, that's, I feel that, right? I remember fucking hiding chocolate almonds from Pat because we got them at Brahms, and like, I finally had this thing that was my own that she couldn't have, and I hid them so well I forgot where they were, and I didn't find them for 2 years. So like, it's a very opposite story. But it is interesting, right? Like, this thing of, like, it's a comfort, and also becomes our demise. And then, I don't know if y'all were like me, but I was excited when I would get any kind of American food, because I was always getting, like, I want the guys and this and that. And now, looking back, I'm like, bitch, you had a great lunch. But I was embarrassed, and so I wanted a Lunchable. I wish I had Oreos. I wish I had these things. And so then now, when I'm older and I'm unpacking that, like, the community I lived in didn't really have access to a lot of healthy foods. Thus, that is what I grew up as norm. Or I'll tell my friend, this is a hood snack, hot Cheetos and cheese. What you mean you don't like that, right? Like, but that was norm for me, and that felt like a treat. Like, and it's really not good for us, but it's what we know. It's what our culture is. It's what we enjoy. Then at the same time, it can be killing us to some degree, right? Everything in moderation. I am not here to tell you that I'm a vegan bitch or anything like that. No shade there. I'm just straight up being for real. Like, to me, everything in moderation. But it is a really interesting conversation I think we should expand on. I don't, Maite, did you get any questions? I got one more that says, I have a question mostly on behalf of my mom. My brother is super inactive and eats bad. Like, bad. Is there a way to encourage healthier habits? And their brother is, I guess, a little on the thicker side.
Call me.
That's your advice. Thanks so much for listening. I think that kind of is a little bit of what I was naturally just saying right now, is that like, we see exercise and health and healthy food as like not fun. To me, growing up, like, I didn't fucking want salad. And like, when I was on the diet where I had to eat lamb and a grapefruit, I was like, God damn it. Like, this is not good. And so I think you have to find what works for you and like really allow someone to want to explore what health means for them. I know in college I had discussions with some of my friends, because they'd be like, bitch, you eat healthier than us, and like you're fat and we're thin, and like this don't make sense, right? I think a lot of it goes back to trauma and like, why is this person or why were they overeating or whatever the outcome might have been. Some people have thyroid problems or all these different things. And so I think that's always worth noting, the mental health of the person, in my opinion, because that's when I noticed I was gaining weight, was when I was a child and my parents got divorced. So that was the big thing that happened when I was 5. Immediately after that, me and fatness have been homegirls, right? Like, we never split since. However, health looks different for everyone. I think people have to really want to build a relationship with whatever quote-unquote healthy means, and understanding how, again, like you said, genetics are. A lot of Latinos are more prone to diabetes and different vitamin C deficiencies and things like that. And so we really have to take that into consideration. Something that's recently kind of got me motivated, I will say, is the play that I saw here in Dallas, produced by Caramia Theater. And the play was written by Virginia Grice, I believe. Pat recommended it on our show. And it's a play called Your Healing is Killing Me. And I really love how she spins it within this play, because she essentially says, get moving, not so that you can get thin, but so that you can fight white supremacy.
Ooh.
And so when I started thinking of that, I was like, you know what? I can do that, right? Because I'm not trying to get thin for men to like me, or I'm not trying to get thin for my mom to like me, or whatever other reason, or for me to like me. But if I can spin it in a way where it's really for my own health and my own well-being, and for me to fucking thrive in a way that I'm meant to thrive, I can get into that, right? But pressuring your family is not it. My family saying shit to me never fucking helped. It made me feel worse. It has to be the person's own journey for themselves. And it's still fucking hard. I know a few months ago, I told my podcast that I was going to exercise more. I've probably exercised 5 times since I said that. I'm going to be straight up and say that. It's kind of embarrassing, but if we're being vulnerable here, I'm going to tell you that, like, when I have fucking depression, anxiety, and I work like basically 2 jobs and I come home at 11, 12 o'clock at night every night, I don't fucking want to work out. I don't. And so we have to take all these different things into consideration and have grace with each other and with ourselves, so that maybe we can really explore what health and fitness and eating well means for ourselves.
Mm. Well, with this particular question, it brings me back to what we were talking about with the trauma. Like, for me, like, money has a lot to do Absolutely. With food Access and my resource. Intake, and exercise has more to do with completely, like, just not even going to factor that in. So with this person, if you're concerned about them, yeah, you're right. Like, pressuring them, that's don't do that.
It makes it, like, worse, in my opinion.
The only thing that I can say is, like, if you fucking want, if they want, which is more important, if they want, like, find out, like, why they're turning to that. Like, those unhealthy habits, whatever they might be, like, that's what I would want to know. It's like, what, why are you going for this so hard or whatever? Like, what's going on in your head? Like, what are you like fighting against something? Are you going through something? Like, try to help what they're going through, not so much what's going in their mouth. I don't know. And
yeah, and you know, a lot of it stems from it stems from mental illness and depression. And people don't see that. People just see a lazy person who doesn't want to do anything, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe asking questions about that. And also really straight up, like, when my mom made me eat healthy or exercise, I mean, my mom got me a gym membership when I was like 12 years old.
I got it when I was 9.
Bitch.
Yeah, I just got a whole ass machine for my birthday.
Wow. We got a machine too. We got a gym inside of our house.
Unasked.
So kind of.
So I felt like, I always felt like exercise and eating healthy was a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way. So, you know, lead by example, yes. Also, just complimenting a person on, hey, it's good to see you. You look great. You want to go for a walk? Let's go down. You know, hey, I noticed you're eating a lot of Chick-fil-A. I love it too.
Did you know it's homophobic? Nah.
let's, you want to walk to the, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to explicitly say that, but like, I just, I don't know. I think I've learned the most from people, like family members of mine that are active, and you know, they'll have a carne asada at the park. And so it's like, we're eating healthier food, homemade food, and we're outside doing something physical. And like, I have an uncle that I really admire that he never gave me shit about my weight. But he sets up certain situations where it's like, we're all having fun and we're all outside, and it's not a thing like we're here eating this healthy food and exercising.
Right.
You know, we're just living and having a good time, and he's leading by example.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So it's a...
And there are good mental health components to fitness, which that's what I'm trying to lean into. But again, it's really hard to find that balance. But I think making that the norm of what our culture is really important as well. Because, like, for me, when I think, and this is my own personal experience, right? This isn't necessarily the norm across, like, Latinx culture. But it's, like, it's very much so, like, work, sleep, eat, work, sleep, eat, work, sleep, eat, right? And so, like, obviously, there is, like, a lot of people that fucking work out and stuff like that a lot. But if it's not naturally the norm of, like, what your daily routine is in a fun way, right? When I saw vegetables growing up, it was, like, fucking gross, right? It wasn't cooked in a way that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm older and I can cook the Brussels sprouts how I want to, I can cook the zucchini how I want to, I can cook everything how I want to in a delicious way, and I really actually enjoy a lot of plant-based meals, it makes it more palatable than feeling like this disgusting thing where all these junk foods literally have ingredients to make us addicted to them, right? Sugar is addicting. All these things have addictive properties that make us want and crave that more than to torture ourselves, quote unquote, with healthy food.
Thank you for your questions, listener.
Was there another one?
I don't think so. I looked on my stuff and I didn't see anything else.
I didn't get any.
Well, thank you for having us on your show, Mighty.
Yeah,
for sure. I know a lot of the end part of that was not so much representation, the discussion, but important shit.
Absolutely. I mean, I would like to talk about that because I got a lot of good feedback on that episode, and I know it almost, like, obviously, I don't know about for y'all, but podcasting feels therapeutic a lot because it is, like, obviously oral histories and stuff. But I know when I talked to the Grizzly Kiki boys.
Shout out to Grizzly Kiki, Robert and Daniel. Shout out to
the different communities and pod communities and drag communities and queer communities and all these different communities that are
Shout out to Oprah Magazine comment section.
K-movie.
We made it. We made it, y'all.
Anyways, really that embrace fatness, right? And like when they told me in person how they felt and you told me they loved me and then they talked, like, that meant so much to me because I don't know what I'm doing, but like that discussion and how they said they felt about me afterwards and how it made them reflect on themselves, like, I'm like, whoa, this one conversation we had on my bed like several months ago had a huge impact on people, right? Like, that's so fucking dope, and it's so important that we continue to have these discussions because there's so many fucking layers to it that we aren't addressing, and together we are able to do that. So I thank CYC and obviously both of you all personally for being my friends and for having this discussion, because we're able to really feel validated, heard, seen, loved, and you know, not only ask for a call to action, but also allow all the listeners and people to really look for it in themselves as well. So it's okay to be fat and love yourself and to love fat people and to treat fat people well. Just as you should everyone else in society.
I just like that a lot of like thin people are listening to this because it's like, I just don't think that they've heard these conversations before.
Mm-hmm. They don't even consider it.
Oh, here's a tip for thin people. Just because I'm fat doesn't mean you can touch me. Fatness is not consent.
We're not a teddy bear.
Don't fucking touch me.
Gang, gang.
But let's end on a positive note.
God damn.
Sorry.
Don't fuck.
fucking touch
it. I know. People just always fucking...
That's true.
It's always fucking pet
or
me.
Or they always like, try to... They lay up on me. They lay on my shoulder. And I'm like, I don't like, even like my, you that much.
Rub my stomach. And I'm like, don't do...
They do not do that.
People do that all the
time. It's like a safe thing. Like, oh, like you're like a safe, non-sexual finally, object or whatever.
And
like,
so now finally I'm like, why are you touching me?
So there's... Well, I don't know if we want to dissect something else. But I was going to say just within the like male body dysmorphia is extreme as well.
Oh, girl.
Part three it is.
Part three. But another shout out to Nicole Byer, because So Fat, So Brave, that's like one of the hashtags she uses. And
which is why we got that episode name.
So just want to give the credit where credit is due, and big credit to you two and for, you know, having this conversation. And I know Latinos Who Lunch gets a lot of credit for your episode on CYC.
Do they?
And yeah, we were just in Forbes and they mentioned
the episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's, I mean, not directly, but they said that we dealt with, I mean, I did have some fat.
Yeah, you had, you guys
I've,
had,
I've had several,
you guys inspired this.
Right. But they've listened to our episode. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what they wrote about. So anyway, I just want to
give... And there was another article you said that wrote about it, too.
Yes, I want to give credit where credit is
due. The AV Club?
Yes.
Oh, but that wasn't about this episode. But anyways.
Anyway.
Deleted.
No, but it's... I think my biggest goal with, like, Latinos Who Lunch and with the Art People podcast is to show that Latinos, people of color, we're multidimensional and... You know, we're people. And I think these conversations are really important and eye-opening for a lot of people, because these are uncomfortable conversations, like you were saying. So thank you for providing that space on CYC.
Yeah, thank you guys for being here for it. Like, I gushed over you guys last time as well, but I'm going to do it again. Like, I don't feel comfortable talking about these things with many people. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult for me, especially because even in people in my life currently, I see toxic behaviors like that, and I don't want to.
And we have them ourselves too.
I have them up them.
Yeah,
ass.
Like, let's not pretend that we don't have them, right?
I don't know. It's really hard for me to be comfortable with it, and you guys help with that. I literally can't think of any other people that I can that I like to have these conversations with, that I enjoy having these conversations with. With everybody else, it's just labor.
It's just that difficult. Part.
It's trauma.
Yeah, that's the nice thing, is like we all have a shared experience, so we can just kind of talk about it without
feeling like you're gonna be invalidated at some point.
Explaining something, you know, like we're just talking
get
about
it.
We're just saying like, hey, it's okay that I'm this way, or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like anytime I walk into the carne asada, it's like, oh, did you lose weight? No, bitch, I actually gained. You know, and it's like, but that's one of the main talking points culturally of like who we are. And so being able to have those discussions in this space is critical to advancing it.
For sure. And maybe like the next one where we're not talking about media representation can be on one of your two podcasts.
Let's do one about food for Latinos Who Lunch.
I'm down.
That would be fun.
I think that would make sense.
And then we can talk about the trauma on mine.
Boom.
Split it up.
Sweet. Boom, baby.
Perfect. Yeah, because media kind of encapsulates everything. And
absolutely.
We do need to break it up a little bit more, especially now that we know how interested people are in it. And to be honest, I want to have the conversations just to figure more shit out about myself, because I've been struggling lately.
We should all do research and stuff. I know I've been reading and purposely...
I've been reading Hunger again.
Yeah, I need to pick it back up again, but like we have to do our own research on fatness. And like shout out to like all the fat Instagram pages and Curvy Cariño and pages like that.
People who reshared the stuff. I saw a lot of love.
Lots of nopales. There's lots of great...
Sin Faja, shout out.
There's a podcast, Bopo. It's in Spanish, Body Positive.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, check it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of amazing things happening in the internet world, especially as far as fatness goes. So shout out to all of them as well. And so hopefully we can advance the conversation more next time.
on So Fat, So Brave.
Part three.
Do we want to put our ads or something?
Yeah, you can follow me at Favi Fav on all social media platforms. You can follow at Latinos Who Lunch and at Art People Podcast to see what I'm up to.
God, you fucking robot.
Did you like my white announcer voice?
Yeah, you killed it.
Thank you. Please visit my website, www.justinfavela.com, to see my art.
I'm scared.
And for the latest episodes,
God damn, girl! We were on a break!
Okay, Ross.
Oh, shit. You can follow me at Eva Arreguin, EvaArreguin. I know you can't spell it, so I spelled it for you. Even if y'all are Latino listeners, you probably... whatever. Anyways, you can also listen to me talk similar shit on De Colores Radio at De Colores Co. We're on Spotify. We're on all the platforms. And check us out on DeColoresRadio.com. DM me, reach out to me. I love having these conversations. I love sharing energy with people. So feel free to reach out. Maybe don't share it too much because I'm fucking sensitive as hell. So anyways, thank you, Maite, and shout out to CYC for always having these dope conversations and for having us on. I love doing this.
And make sure to follow both of these podcasts. Make sure to rate and review them, most importantly on iTunes, because that's how we get more recognition and shit like that. And us too. Follow at CYC Podcast if you're coming from the other pods. And we're also on everything.
Support fat people.
Support fat podcasters.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Especially non-white fat people. Mm-hmm. They really need your love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, guys. Thank you for being here once again.
Bye.
Bye.
Ivy.